buying a home? Don't panic. Just listen to the rest of this podcast. My guest today, Skip Walker, is also one of the co-authors of the CoCheck series. All right, we got Skip Walker here today. You know, Skip, I don't know if a lot of my listeners are going to know who you are, so why don't you introduce yourself and all your years of wisdom?
I don't know about the wisdom part. So I've been a property inspector since 2003, so 20 years, give or take a little.
Nice.
And I've always been kind of interested in building codes. And ironically, about 2000, I started, and I'm not a contractor, about 2000, I started doing
I'm happy to hear that.
Remodeling on, I'm sorry?
You said you're not a contractor. I said, I'm happy to hear that.
I started doing remodeling on my mom's house. I was going to do a couple bathrooms in the kitchen and a service upgrade. And so I went down to my local jurisdiction and said, you know, this is my mom's house. I want to do it right. What should I do? And they literally told me, the guy at the counter said, go get code checkbooks and make it look like the pictures. You'll be fine. So I'm serious. You can't make this up.
Wow.
So I did. And I think I had one time where they wrote a correction notice on the clearance on a toilet. That was it. And did both bathrooms, tile surrounds, all that, you know, 200 amp service upgrade from an old Federal Pacific.
Did that yourself?
Yep.
Wow.
And yeah, it was all good. So anyway, fast forward one night, I'm a CREA, an ASHI inspector, and I've been doing teaching and whatnot, since the probably mid 2000s. I started out in my local chapter doing, we would have pre-meeting education and then education, talk. And, no one wanted to do building codes during chapter time. So I said, well, you know, to the board, will you let me do like a pre-meeting education hour? So I did. I started with the IRC because at that time there was no California Residential Code. It was based on the UBC. And, I started on chapter one. And took me about 4 years at, you know, 1 hour per month to work my way through. And part of the reason I wanted to do it, because the best way to learn something is to have to explain it to somebody.
Right.
So
right.
I was using that as a way to study for the IRC certification exams.
There you go.
And as I cleared, you know, I did the building, went and took the building certification exam, did the plumbing, passed that. Electrical and mechanical, and got my combination IRC cert, and that was, I don't know, probably like 2007 or so, and then about, you know, fast forward, Douglas Hanson, who is the primary author on CoCheck and has been since the 90s, is again kind of a twist of fate, a member of our chapter. And he came up to me one night at a chapter meeting. This has probably been about close to 7 years back, and said, he said, would you come outside? I thought, first thing I thought is, what did I do to tick him off? which I've done a few times. And
yeah, you know, you do have a sense of humor.
As my niece tells me, Uncle Skip, you're not as funny as you think you are. So anyway, Douglas takes me outside and he said, would you be interested in co-authoring CoCheck with me? And I thought, you know, I kind of like banged the side of my head and it's like, did you say what I thought you said?
Nice.
And, I said, are you kidding? Of course I would. And, so anyway,
that's a good compliment right there. Yeah. That's great.
We're like seven books in now since nice. I started.
So you're also, you're a co-author of the book is what you're saying.
Yep. I started, when he asked me to do that, I joined and, they were at that point, he at that point was finishing building fourth edition, mm-hmm. and which is the building provisions chapters 1 through 10 in the IRC. And so I edited and proofread that book. So I'm not on it as an author, but there's like a little microscopic text that says, thanks for proofreading or something. And then the book since then, I've been a co-author doing Kochak 8th and 9th edition. Now I was today working on proofreading Kochak 10th, which won't be going to the printer for a few weeks yet, but this is the most current. This is our kind of our flagship original book.
Got it.
That was 9th edition. And Kochak kind of came into being in a kind of a strange way. Redwood Carden, who you see his name on all the books, he's the guy that originally came up with the idea. And he was actually an electrical inspector over in the city of Oakland, so right across the bay. And one day they called them all into the office and said, you're not going to be dedicated inspectors now. Everybody's going to do everything. So you're all combination inspectors. Go forth and don't sin. So he didn't know anything about plumbing or building or mechanical. So he started putting together these little cheat sheets for that stuff so he'd know what to look for. And that turned into something he called Woody's Fast Facts. And
it's kind of catchy. Catchy.
Yeah. Anyway, so he, at some point or another, I really don't remember whether it was Taunton Press reaching out to him or him reaching out to Taunton, but him and Taunton Press got hooked up. They actually came up with the name Kochak and have it copyrighted. And we sold 1,400,000 books. And since 1997.
That's great. So that's, because I recently contacted you about, I actually purchased a couple of the latest volumes recently, and that's got me to call you. And because I wasn't thinking when I ordered the book, I was like, let me upgrade my book because it's been a while since I bought another one. And then I'm looking at it going, Skip's name's on here. That's right. I totally spaced it. Because I think I had a encounter with you, whether it was on one of the group meetings on Zoom or something like that a while back. So we haven't had a chance to really talk to each other a lot, you and I. So we don't know each other that well. But I have noticed that
I remember you asking questions and comments in like a Silicon Valley meeting chat.
Yeah. I had a few questions.
Is my home Korea ASCII chapter.
Yeah, that meeting there, it kind of took me by surprise when I was listening to that meeting, because all the guys you had on there, all the inspectors, you guys were like really going deep, like deep, deep, deep into electrical. And, you know, as a home inspector and listening to all the other inspectors over the years talking and everybody giving their input on what you should and shouldn't be doing, we always tell each other, don't be reporting code on one thing unless you're going to report it on everything. So it kind of makes me want to ask you a question there. It brings up a good question. So I understand knowing what the codes are is it's a good knowledge to have. Especially when you're inspecting houses, you want to know what's wrong. You know, if that looks off, how do you know it's off? Well, you know, I happen to read the code books and I know what's going on. So a new inspector coming in, they're not going to know this. So what kind of advice would you give to a brand new inspector coming in who's just becoming aware of all these, you know, code check books, the fact that he should not be reporting code because home inspectors don't report code, as far as I understand, unless you're going to tell me something different.
Well, I would say for a newbie coming in, someone new, going through school doesn't make you an inspector. Unfortunately, that will probably teach you enough to be dangerous. I put myself in that category too.
Sure.
There used to be a guy up here, Jerry McCarthy, who was the guy that kind of mentored me, and Jerry was the kind of guy that they name awards after. The Jerry McCarthy Fellow Award is the second highest honor that you can get in Korea, which is the oldest state organization, certifying organization in California, mm-hmm. and one of the two oldest in the United States. So he always used to tell us, you know, you follow the SOPs and don't guess. Don't get out in front of yourself and saying, I don't know is okay.
Yep.
You know, you can say, I don't know, but I'll find out. And then go research. And
exactly.
The more you do that, the more you learn, and the fewer times you have to say, I don't know. So yes. I do actually in reports sometimes put code citations. I never say this isn't to code.
Right.
Because right. That's the role of a jurisdictional inspector.
Correct.
Is to interpret the code. I would, one of the things that both Douglas Hanson and Jerry used to say is, Jerry was adamant about not doing code inspections because I agree with that. That, you know, you're not going there to go through the house and write a punch list and a correction notice. That's a jurisdictional inspector. You're doing life and safety and habitability. The California Business and Profession Code is the governing regulation, and it says that we're supposed to identify anything that affects safety, habitability, value, and desirability, which is a really poorly written section, but that's what happens when you have realtors writing your regulations for you as a home inspector. So,
yeah, that's never good.
No, they have no desire to make our job easy.
Right.
And at least at the state level, I think there's a ton of really great real estate agents out there. Carr, I have mixed feelings about, I would say, overall.
Right.
But back to the code issue, Hanson always used to say, you know, there's nothing that says you can't cite code, just don't be wrong. And since most people aren't in a position to know what right and wrong is, I think that sort of backs into you shouldn't be doing it. I do. The other day, I put a code citation in a report where this electrical panel in a detached building was just signed off by the city. As a matter of fact, the city inspector was still there when I'm inspecting.
When you gave him a low score.
Well, I mean, it was wrong.
Yeah.
And gotcha. Of course, the agents are all like, "Well, the city signed off on it," and I said, "I, you know, from your lips to God's ears, that should mean something." You know, I don't want to offend anybody, but on the other hand, I'm not going to sign off on something or not going to say it's okay just because some jurisdictional guy missed something.
Well, if you know, you know. So, I mean, if you know something's wrong, then you know. Then you got to stick to your
wrong.
Guns.
I gave him. I don't put the citation. I don't put the words in.
Right.
At the very end of the comment, I'll say ref CRC blah blah blah, and I told him where to go look. And if they want to avail themselves of that, that's great. If they don't, I don't really care. It's not my job to make them pay attention or even fix stuff. I just want to make sure later on, if somebody comes in behind me, an electrician, and says, "Well, this is wrong, and your home inspector should have told you," that I can point at a piece of paper and say, "No, I told you pretty clearly." So,
Let me go back real quick. You made a comment a little while ago that really caught my attention because it's something that, you know, I always say, but mostly to myself. and that is
I talk to myself a lot too. So
yeah, and that is you know, taking a course does not make you a home inspector. So along those lines of what you mentioned earlier. So that's a very good topic right there. So,
it's huge.
Yeah, I want to get into that with you right now because that's something that these new inspectors need to understand. And look, you can go get a certification anywhere you want. It's honestly, in my opinion, I've been down that road. I've got certifications and different things. And at the end of the day, the people calling you to inspect their house don't give a shit about your certifications. You're going to get a few people that are wise to what's going on, and they will understand what your certifications are. Very few, though. And I think a lot of these new guys are getting these certifications real quickly without really having a lot of experience. And then they're going out there and getting themselves in trouble. So this business, this business is about on the job experience. I can't stress that enough. If you haven't done a paid inspection yet and you're working your way towards it, you need to go inspect every single relative of yours house that you can get your hands on. Every one of your friends, their friends, go do a whole bunch of them and really understand what's in a house. Cause if you're just getting into this field and you don't really have construction background or any, like you never built a deck on a house or you never roofed a house before. If you have no understanding of how these things work, there's a lot of liability here. And you really need to understand that getting into this. So taking courses, you will learn something, but nothing's going to replace on-the-job training, on-the-job experience.
Absolutely agree. Jerry McCarthy always used to say, everybody wants to forget their first 100 inspections. And I'm right there. I mean, I look back at some of my original reports and it's like, oh my God, what was I thinking? And I think you go through stages, you know, I mean, from like up 100, you start to kind of get your legs a little bit. And then at 500, you hit another plateau, and at 1,000, you hit another. And each of those times you go through these like massive rewrites of your library, trying to fix the past sins.
All your responses. I do it all the time.
That never goes away. Anybody that tells me that they just use the library that fill in the blank software company sent them, they scare me. Because libraries are pathetic at best,
right?
And fraught with liability, and they quite often aren't California specific,
right?
I have guys. I have a termite guy that he asked me one day. This has probably been about 6 months ago. He said, "Did they change the rules on guardrails in California to back to 36?" And I said, "No." Yeah, it's 42 inches, even though the IRC says 36. California's got a what they call a necessary amendment. And he said, boy, I was just with an inspector the other day, and new guy. And I said something about the guardrails. He's like, oh, no, they're fine. They're more than 36. And I know what it is. You know, if he read one of these or, you know, one of our books, which are based on the IRC, it's going to say 36 inches, and then there's a little asterisk, and it says California's 42. But if you don't read that stuff, or if you read the base code, or if you take a class from a national organization, all that stuff's going to be based on kind of generic model codes. It's not going to be based on California specific.
Not going to be specific.
There's some very real differences between California and codes in other parts of the country.
Correct. Yeah, that's definitely correct. So, yeah, I mean, like going back to the responses on, I will think I have my response for a very common thing. I have a canned response. You know, I go through it every few months, and then all of a sudden I'll get a question from a customer, and it makes me think about rewriting that whole thing because they looked at it in a perspective I had never thought of before.
Yeah,
and it's
absolutely.
It's really interesting, and that alone is valuable. But you will never get that from me or from you. You're going to get it from a customer who's just going to say something to you, and you're going to go, "Whoa, you know what? I never thought of it in that realm before. Okay, let me rewrite this a little bit better to cover that."
You know, I look at my reports, and when I first started out, I would get phone calls. You know, someone would say, what do you mean about this, that, right. the other thing. Right. And I would take every one of those things. And if I got more than a couple phone calls on the same comment, then that comment's not telling people what it needs to tell them. And I right. would rewrite it.
Right.
Today, knock on wood, I get almost no phone calls. I'm serious. It's not that I don't want them. Yep. I encourage people to call. Yep. But if the report doesn't answer their questions, yep. then that's on me.
Right. I very seldomly get phone calls too. Sometimes
I know guys yeah. around here that have been inspectors for years, and they talk about how they just get phone call after phone call. Yeah. It's like, that takes so much time. It's like, I don't want to like badmouth anybody, but okay. So you got to take some ownership of that problem and fix it.
Yeah. The report writing is not up to par. That's what it is.
Yep.
So maybe just address it that way. Well, hey, you know what? Let's work on your report writing. Wait, how are you wording yeah. stuff? Because if you're just making it generic and not understanding it, yeah, it's anyone's going to yeah. call you for clarity. And I do tell my customers every day, hey, look, if you read the report and something doesn't make sense to you, just call me up and I'll clarify it for you. But like I said, I very rarely get that. Yeah,
I tell people you can call me anytime or email me from now until the cows come home. I had somebody call me one time 5-6 years after I did the report to ask me where the water shut off was. And seriously. And no, it was the electric. It was the electric disconnect. Because they had some problem with the house and they didn't remember. I don't know how they remembered my phone number, but they didn't remember.
Well, actually, that was probably the first time they opened the report.
Well, but you know, when I first started, I didn't put a lot of pictures in. I mean, I did put some in, but I put a few in, and almost right away, people would call me and say, "Where's the water shut off? Where's the gas shut off? Where's the electric shut off?" And it says right in the report, the water shut off is located at the gas is at and so I thought, okay, so clearly I'm not communicating properly in words. So at that point, and this is 20 years ago, I start putting photos in of gas, water, and electric. And
yeah, I don't
think anybody was that I know of was doing that at that point. And I stopped getting phone calls. I thought, okay.
Well, if you're lonely, you better take that back out of your report. Yeah. If you miss the phone calls, just take that out of your report.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the point is, you know, let's answer the questions in the report and not have to deal with it after the fact, because that's just it's just time that's wasted. And I don't think you're giving the clients good value if you're writing reports right. such that they have to call you for clarification all the time.
And not to mention
that's one man's opinion.
Yeah, sure. And not to mention, you know, when you have to take a bunch of phone calls every week, you're wasting, well, I wouldn't call it wasting their time, but you're wasting your time, because now you could be doing something else like writing today's report, but now you're mm-hmm. tied up with that. So it's kind of like you're always going backwards, and that's not something I believe in. I just, I like to keep moving forward. I
mean, I argue you're wasting their time too. I mean, you mm-hmm. know, they're having to take time to connect and.
Oh yeah, that's true. That's true.
You know, but anyway.
But if they just don't know, if they just don't know.
I try to write reports to answer questions. So I don't want to beg questions. I want to answer them.
Did you know that Skip Walker is also one of the co-authors of the Code Check series that you can find at codecheck.com? That's CodeCheck.com. The Code Check series books are the most widely used code reference series in the U.S. Each Code Check book is a condensed guide to the most commonly used code sections. They include many of the most common code violations encountered by building inspectors, contractors, do-it-yourselfers, and homeowners. New editions of codes typically are issued every 3 years. Each edition of Code Check is based on specific sets of codes, and most books include summaries of a code changes to link them to the prior edition of codes as well. With over 1.3 million copies sold since 1995, CodeCheck is the leader in navigating and understanding the voluminous, complex, and sometimes tedious world of the codes. CodeCheck, your key to the codes. One of my favorite parts is the CodeCheck illustrations option. So for $149.95, you can download up to 358 full color, high res illustrations that you are allowed to add to your home inspection report if you want to better explain to a client with a good visual aid. Order your code check series today at codecheck.com. So as far as the code check goes, I want to kind of keep this guided towards, you know, somebody starting out, new home inspectors, how to utilize these books. So
I would suggest a couple things to people. Okay. Number one is follow your standards of practice, whatever they are, you know, ASHI or CREA. I do litigation work, and one of the biggest problems I see is people, I had a case just like last year, where the guy's contract said he used the CREA standards of practice, and then his report said he used ASHI.
No way.
You got to pick one side of the fence to be on.
Wow.
And then stay there because they're not the same.
Right.
They're different. Those two, and it could be InterNACHI, whatever it is. You know, pick an SOP, and then as a new person, don't try to exceed the standards. You know, you'll have enough on your plate just hitting a baseline SOP compliant report, and right. Do that and do it really well. And then if you want to start ratcheting your game up, that's a good time to do it.
Sure. Good advice.
I suggest to people, our initial book, which is what we call Code Check Combo, is 32 pages, and it's a quarter of its building, a quarter of its electrical, a quarter of its mechanical, and a quarter of its plumbing. So it's a little bit of everything. I would not, and that's as opposed to this book here, which is Code Check Complete. That's 350 pages of stuff. This is too much for a new person. It, you know, this is like drinking from a fire hose.
I gotta be honest with you. That book's too much for me too. Not just a new person.
So this is all we get people all the time. Like, I'm a new inspector. Which one of these should I buy? And this is where I shoot them. And this is also the cheapest book. It's $20.
Right.
So it gives you a little flavor. All the Code Check books are really designed around the basic kind of stuff that you would run into if you were a jurisdictional inspector doing rough and final final inspections. So they're going to hit the high points, the stairs. What's the tread and riser limitations? Handrails on stairs, guardrails. Deck heights before you need a guardrail, basic deck construction, electrical panels and electrical disconnects and water mains and bonding and grounding and all that kind of stuff. It hits all that stuff. So don't try to bite off more than you can chew. Just
right. And I just really got this one from you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's building. That's a 50 page book.
Yeah.
Just building provisions.
Got it.
So that's bigger than this one, and it's all. The other one was plumbing mechanical. So that's the 50 page plumbing mechanical is a 50 page book that's just plumbing and mechanical. So this is 30 pages. That's more than enough for a new person to kind of start cutting their teeth on. For most people, they're never going to want to go that much deeper until they get more comfortable with the basics, and then they may want to dive in. My suggestion to people is find the thing you're most uncomfortable with and make that your focus, because if you kind of have a handle on building and you're not too uncomfortable with plumbing and mechanical, but you're scared to death of electrical, then make yourself an electrical expert.
Electrical is always a mystery, man. Always.
Most people are scared to death of electrical, and you know what? They should be, because it kills people if they do it wrong.
That's true.
But the point being is, take your weakness and make it a strength, And then
good advice.
You'll really up your game. I teach classes at like the ASHI and Korea conferences, and also I teach for building inspectors, and it's part of getting my ICC credentials and doing code check. I'm what's classified as an ICC preferred education provider, so I can teach CE classes for building jurisdictional inspectors, and I wish I could find a way to actually make a living teaching, because I actually enjoy it a whole bunch. But the point being is, I started out where everybody that's listening to this is, and that's not knowing a whole lot. And what I didn't do is every time I found something I didn't understand, I didn't call Jerry McCarthy or somebody else that, you know, the old gray hair guys, and ask them. I spent a bunch of time researching until I couldn't figure it out on my own. And then I would call them and ask them what was going on. And after a while, I didn't have to do that very much.
Yeah, that's what I do. That's what I do. I reach out to people that got more experience than me, that may have firsthand experience of what I'm just ran into. And I'm like, hey, you know what? I can't find any clarity on this. You got any?
That process is going to make you so much better of an inspector.
Right.
Because a lot of what we do is like, you know, it's like CSI for homes. It's like crime scene investigation. I mean, you walk into some homes and they really are like, it's a crime that it got built.
It is a crime.
I always tell people there's no perfect houses. They do not exist. Yeah. And the reality is we get a lot of tech people up here. So I always use software analogies. It's like, you know, tell me the last time you ever shipped a software release that was perfect. And they all laugh. And I said, same thing with this house. You know, this house, if it's a 1500 square foot house, has a million and a half pieces to it. If you count every nut, bolt, screw, piece of wood, somebody was having a bad day. So my goal is to figure out who that was. And, they're usually okay with that.